I'm Kier from In Defense Of, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Phil Coulson. Stand by for SHIELD debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the SHIELD director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Agent Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
I'm Agent Lauren.
And I'm Consultant Lobster.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., a Marvel Comic Universe fan show. This is show number 136, discussing the Daredevil Season 2 episode, Kimbaku. This show is recorded on Wednesday, July 27th, 2016. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel's Daredevil Jessica Jones, and Luke Cage on Netflix. And the general Marvel comic universe.
Because Kinbaku means rope bondage.
Ooh.
If you'd like to talk to us about rope bondage, you can check out our website, legendsofshield.com, where you'll find all of our contact information. You can hit us up on our voicemail line, 844-THE-BUS-1. That's 844-843-2871. We also can be found on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr by searching for Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. We're part of a network, Gunna Geek. And you can find all of the network's videos at youtube.com/GunnaGeek. And you can check out the network's website at GunnaGeek.com.
This time on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., we're going to be talking about Daredevil. We're going to be running down some of the main important news from San Diego Comic-Con. We're going to be talking about your feedback and highlights from the live blab chat room. But before we go on, before we dive into it, before we just get into the rumble, we have to welcome back Mr. Lobster to the podcast. Now, for those of you that don't know, Lobster is no newbie to the Gunna Geek Network. Oh, no. He has had plenty of podcast experience. He is a main co-host on Art House Legends. He is also a somewhat punny co-host on the Crimson Comet, and he's had some other stuff along the way, and he's, I don't know how many times, but he has guested on both this podcast and Starlight Tribune many times. Welcome, Mr. Lobster, to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Thank you for having me. Is our what's our safe word if we're doing rope bondage?
It's a good
the
question.
The safe word is banana.
Pickle?
That could come up, though.
Peach cobbler?
Peach there cobbler. Let's go with peach cobbler. Peach.
Fair enough.
Hashtag safe word, peach cobbler.
Peach cobbler.
All right. So let's just get into the main event right away. We're going to be talking about Daredevil Kimbaku. It was directed by a really newbie. I mean, she's done 19 total directing credits, but I took a look down it and I didn't recognize anything. Doesn't mean it wasn't important. Doesn't mean it wasn't good. But Floria.
Sigismundi, looks like.
Floria Sigismundi.
Oh. Oh, she did the music video for The Beautiful People, the Marilyn Manson video.
She does a lot of music videos and
Tourniquet.
Yep. And then she did one episode of Daredevil, and that was the main things that I saw. So I thought it was very interesting that a relatively newbie that's mainly done music videos has transitioned to a Netflix series. That's pretty cool, huh?
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, her music videos are gorgeous. I mean, go to her IMDb page and look at the list. She did one of David Bowie's last music videos for his last album. And she's done a couple of really good Marilyn Manson videos from back in my little wannabe goth days. And she's just done a lot of really, really visually interesting stuff.
This was a good episode for, I think, her talents in the way this episode was shot, and especially some of the sequences, which I think you could do a lot with music. Or have you guys heard of this new trend, Selena scene?
Oh, yeah.
Where you take like My Heart Will Go On and just any scene, yes. It works.
Yeah. My favorite one of that so far is the Duel of the Fates from episode 1. And yes, the Chris Farrell in our chat brought up the Winter Soldier one. Those two are both fantastic.
Pretty cool. That was the director. The writer is no newbie to anything. Her name is Lauren Schmidt Hisrich. I think I got that right. Hisrich.
Sounds right.
She has 9 total writing credits, 3 of Daredevil, 20 Haley of The West Wing.
What?
4 of Private Practice, a bunch of other stuff. But the main thing to remember here with Lauren is she produced Private Practice, Parenthood, Do No Harm, Power, Daredevil, and the upcoming The Defender. So that is where your experience is coming in this episode.
I remember her from The West Wing, seeing her name on a lot of stuff. And I love The West Wing. I've been rewatching it lately, too.
Oh, that- I've never seen it.
It's good. Gas. No, it's good. And I saw some West Wing, especially in the lawyery scenes in this one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That would make some sense. Mm-hmm. Well, it was a pretty good episode. At least I thought so. It was a little bit out of character for Daredevil, a little bit slower, a little bit more methodical, sets up a lot of stuff for later. Now, remember, we're coming off of the intro Punisher arc and we're starting something new. Elektra just popped up at the end of the last episode into this episode. If you're watching this opening weekend, you don't care because you've just entered in to the fifth hour. You're still going strong. It's Friday night. You got a couple hours left, so you're going to get into this arc before you go to sleep Friday night.
You're not, yeah, you're not falling asleep yet. Cause
how many episodes is it before the Netflix asks if you're still watching?
3. It's 3 episodes. Okay. So, in theory...
Does it still do that?
Yes, it does.
I haven't seen that in a while.
Well, if you hit to go ahead and play...
Yeah. In theory, the next episode is where... After the next episode is where it asks you again, and after that is where you might be just like, okay, maybe now I'll take a break.
Maybe I'm not still watching. Am I? Well, that's when you have an existential crisis and you say, am I still watching?
No, that's when you're like, real? Do I have to pee?
Yeah. Well, the good thing about Netflix is you can just pause.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, if it's going to pause for you anyways, you might as well take advantage of that. Not true. Put out that extra effort.
Netflix and chill. That's what Elektra showed up for. She's like, hey, Matt, you want to watch? Pretty oh, never much. Mind.
Pretty much.
You want to watch Jessica Jones?
And he's like, watch. And then it's awkward.
Yes.
Well, she figures out that he's not blind, or he can sort of kind of see. So she figures that out all on her own. Very perceptive. And she's so bored that she sees him wearing wingtips and comments about it. And he comments about her commenting about it in the flashback. So that's what their whole relationship is based on, a pair of wingtips.
Thank you for noticing this. You're noticing it has been noticed and will be reported to the authorities.
Yeah, their whole... Oh, man. They have a very intense, very not healthy relationship in the flashback.
Yeah. Super codependent.
Yeah.
Like,
it starts off with her stealing somebody's car. Sure. Well, it starts off with him sneaking into a party. And then her stealing somebody's car. And then it just seems to escalate.
Breaking into the gym, just, breaking into a house, kidnapping, it's just like torture.
Never-ending sex and crimes.
Mm-hmm. I don't see the problem there.
Sounds like a good weekend,
yeah.
It kind of does. But as the basis for a long-term relationship?
No, they're obviously terrible for each other. They should have hooked up after they stole the car and never spoken again.
Pretty much.
Now, did they really steal the car? Because I kind of got the vibe that her father owned the car.
And they'll have fun till daddy takes the T-Bird away.
That's what I thought.
She had the keys to the car.
Given the stuff that comes up later, I'm pretty sure she stole the car.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure she swiped somebody's keys and...
Sure.
Yeah.
I guess. I mean, if you got that much money rolling around and you got Elektra stealing the car...
It's not about the money. It's about the thrill.
Yeah. And that's the whole thing, is that he points out you look bored here.
Yeah.
And seriously, I know I commented on it while I was live tweeting, but during this whole scene, I was just getting flashbacks of Angelica Schuyler and Alexander Hamilton's first meeting in the musical.
I was thinking the exact same thing.
Right?
I will never be satisfied.
She hadn't sized him up so quickly.
Definitely, I see where the writing comes from.
in the verbal sparring between Elektra and Matt. That's the West Wing background, the Sorkin background. That makes sense to me now. When I was watching it, I didn't know that. I didn't write the notes until afterwards. So, yes, the verbal sparring basically with Matt in Elektra, it's all great. And she figures out he's Daredevil right away, too. We don't actually see her knowing that he's... That's a good question. They don't go through that history where she knew him as Daredevil.
No,
as Matt.
She knew him as Matt. Mm. They went their separate ways. He became Daredevil. And then she figured out that Daredevil is Matt, I think, pretty fast, probably before she even saw Matt again.
Yeah.
She probably read about it and was like, oh, yeah, I know who this is.
I can't remember if it was in this episode or if it was something else that I read, but someone was like, you never forget that ass or something like that.
That's it.
But in any case, he's wearing those tight pants. She's seen him fight. She's seen him naked.
She saw him in his underwear, and he's like, it's not underwear. Underwear is comfortable.
Yeah. And I mean, that ass, so.
Sure, we'll go with that, at least for now.
Well, I mean, I get it. And don't forget, she's fought him or fought with him.
Maybe I'm just thinking of that Green Lantern thing where she's like, I've seen you naked. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
She knows his fighting style, and she knows the neighborhood that Daredevil is in and the type of people he's going after. It wouldn't be hard to figure out for her.
And the fact that he didn't kill anyone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's like the one thing she knows about him, truly, is that he's not going to kill anyone. Even like the person who he most deserves to kill, like the person that killed his dad, he won't do it.
Yeah. Which was, let's face it, a huge rift in the relationship. And seriously, they're there in the house, and she's like breaking glasses all over the place, like some weird flirting thing. She's like, oh, hey, I brought you this tied up guy. And when I was watching, I was like, those look like Shibari knots. Like, she's getting off on this. And then, of course, the name of the episode is Kinbaku, which is tight binding. And it's a bondage thing. So, she definitely was getting off on this. But anyway, she's like some weird cat, like bringing home live prey for him to kill and knocking stuff down.
I used to do a podcast on the Gunna Geek Network called Gotham Nightline, which talked about, we did like the first season of Gotham before the podcast itself imploded. And this is something that I kind of talked about with young Selina Kyle and young Bruce Wayne. So the show kind of presents them growing up together. And I said, so there has to be some point where they're going to keep pushing each other into situations. And then eventually they're going to get to a point where Selina's going to go one way and Bruce is going to go another. And it's probably going to be something exactly like this, which is, I want you to kill this person. Clearly he deserves to die. Why won't you kill him? Get your revenge, whatever. And then that's where the breakdown happens. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's so that later on you see them become enemies, because there's that bitterness of that happening.
Yeah. There's the person that wouldn't take that step. Sure. And
I don't know if enemies is...
They're frenemies.
Yeah.
Those two are frenemies.
Catwoman and Batman, or Daredevil and Elektra?
Catwoman and Batman, and actually a little Daredevil and Elektra too.
Yeah, they start off kind of as antagonists, and it kind of evolves and changes. But yeah, that's how you kind of set up that archetypal relationship, I think. But it definitely works in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they choose kind of an awkward place to hook up for the very first time.
What's wrong with doing it on a sweaty gym mat?
Where a bunch of dudes have like bled and...
Right after talking about, oh, hey, my dad was murdered, blah, blah, blah. Let's do it.
Yeah. Let's do it on this mat that stinks of like sweaty old man feet.
Yeah, it's like all foot sweat and blood. You know it.
Spit, maybe a little.
So granted, I am not the best person at picking dates. Like one of the first movies that my husband and I ever went on a date to go see was this Stephen King movie Dreamcatcher.
It's an okay movie.
Which, if you've never seen it, features these alien weasel things bursting out of people's butts.
Yeah.
And it's not a great movie.
The poop weasel. Yeah, that's fun.
And stuff like that.
That was Jason Lee on the toilet.
Yeah, it was. And Damian Lewis. Damian Lewis,
Thomas Jane, and Morgan Freeman, isn't it?
Yeah. He's like a general.
Because that's what you want to say on a first date, is so butt stuff, right?
Yeah. And, movies like The Life of David Gale, which is about the death penalty, and just stuff like I looked at the list of like the stuff that we saw in our first few months together, and I'm like, why did you keep dating me? I'm sorry, I have terrible taste in movies. But granted, I'm pretty sure I did not talk about the brutal slaying of my immediate family
sure.
on any of our dates.
Although, maybe this is where she gets her affinity for rope bondage, because the rope's around the ring. She associates it with her
I'm
time.
Sure that was something she was yeah, into before.
I'm sure that was a pre-existing, you know, yes. thing. No kink shaming.
Yep.
I'm not. I'm just saying, I think this might be where it came from.
Well, listen, talking about the slaying of your family, like, I put that on my OkCupid profile. Like, I'm, you know, if you read that, then sure, you know, whatever. No, I'm joking.
Well, it was down to him or some billionaire that wouldn't quit talking about his dying parents, so.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
My parents are dead.
Martha.
Why did you say that name?
Why did you say that name?
I just saw that movie like a week ago.
I'm so sorry.
You're not missing anything.
No, I'm going to rent it, and then I'm going to invite some friends over, and we are going to get so drunk.
The worst part is that you can see that there is a good movie buried in there. Yeah. It is just buried in a pile of crap.
It's buried in the new Justice League trailer.
I actually dig that trailer. I'm hopeful.
I saw a picture that was the one where, like, Bruce Wayne is shaking Aquaman, and he's like, you have to find Nemo. And then Aquaman's like, why did you say that name?
Beautiful.
I can see Momoa saying that, too.
Yeah, totally.
Why did you say that name? So this whole episode with Elektra is a little bit awkward because it comes on the tail of such that excellent date night the first kiss or whatever with Karen.
Yeah.
And then you've got the date with Karen awkwardly sandwiched in the middle of this episode. But it brings you back. There is magic there once they get past the I'm your boss, you're my employee. Sure.
I just don't see the chemistry there between Matt and Karen. Like, there is some serious chemistry between Matt and Elektra.
Some electricity.
But they are so unhealthy for each other, but they have some crazy chemistry going on. Matt and Karen, it's awkward.
And it's tough to know because Deborah Ann Wall can have chemistry with, like, the phone book.
Yeah, pretty
and,
much.
Like, I don't know if I'll say her name right, but Elodie Young, who plays Elektra, also super chemistry. And then I'm just feel like Charlie Cox is playing it more reluctant with, I mean, I guess it's tough to say too, because you're getting the chemistry of, like, young Matt, and, like, young Matt is different somehow than older Matt.
He's a bit more carefree.
And so that chemistry works really well, but, like, it's super awkward with old Matt and Elektra.
I think with Karen, the whole thing is he's like, oh, I don't want to, this is like the one good thing in my life and I don't want to damage it. Rah, 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 wah. But the thing is, like, as we've seen throughout the show, like, Karen's chemistry with Foggy was really good.
Yes.
Karen's chemistry with Frank is really good. I'm like, I remember coming out of the show, like, did this show just make me ship Karen Page and Frank Castle? What?
It does. It totally
does. But Matt, it's just like, I don't buy this relationship between these two at all. And I'm very sorry, but eh.
It's almost like they were like, oh, well, we're both pretty, so we probably better hook up.
Yeah.
I think they had a lot of building chemistry in season one, and I think they needed to get it over with and move on.
I thought that the Karen Matt thing came out of nowhere because it was her and Foggy for so long.
Yeah. They have to build these parallel love triangles. So you've got Matt, Karen, Foggy Matt, and then you've got Matt, Karen, Elektra Matt, and you have to build these, like, parallel confliction relationships.
Marcy,
and then,
Foggy, Karen.
Right.
Hell,
Marcy,
Matt and Foggy have more chemistry than Matt and Karen.
Yeah, well, yeah. They're, I mean, it's, like, totally to, like, just split the characters and drive divisions between them.
Because
they're so strong coming off the end of season one. Like, they're totally simpatico. And then... Mm-hmm.
And then now they're like, oh, I told Karen you're an alcoholic.
Right.
I loved that Foggy pulls Marcy back in. I was not expecting to ever see her again. I'm so glad we did, because you're right. Foggy and Marcy, it's so wrong, but it's so right. They're meant to be together. And it's great that they're somewhat working together. And I think we see more of that as the season goes on. Spoilers. But this was good to bring her back in. I really enjoyed it. And she dropped so much knowledge. The fact that Jessica Jones was name dropped. The fact that Reyes was looking to be mayor by stepping over vigilantes, including
the talk about the DA position opening up.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was later, but yeah.
A whole bunch of stuff happened and it was so good. And Foggy, aside from that, really isn't used in this episode too much.
Just the scene with him and Tower, when Blake Tower comes in and Foggy's like, show me my subpoena, bitch. And, and it just kind of like goes from there. Like, that's a very West Wing kind of scene with that sparring back and forth. But that's why I love the guy who plays Foggy and Foggy, the character in this, because that's the kind of scene that he is great in.
He is. He's done it time and time again. I just love how he backs into it, too. It's like, oh, yes, we totally want to cooperate. We just want to get this over with. We want to move on. Oh, just show me your subpoena and we'll just, oh, wait, you don't have one? It was well played. It was well written. It was well performed. I really enjoyed that. Although the whole thing of forcing Karen out of the room, I think that started her totally leaving the law firm for almost the rest of the season.
Yeah, we see her coming into her own again, like really as sort of this investigator.
Yeah.
She goes in and she's looking up all this evidence and she's like, no, really, you're missing all this stuff about the Punisher and it's really important. And she convinces Ben's old boss at, I keep wanting to say the Bugle. It's not it.
Bulletin. The Daily Bulletin.
The Bulletin, because they can't use the Bugle because Sony still, I guess, technically has the rights to it.
That's right.
Although I guess they could use it now if they, you know, want to just throw some money back and forth. But anyway, at the Bulletin, so she goes in there and she's looking up all the stuff. And it turns out, hey, she's good at this. And we're going to see a lot of this moving forward.
Well, you know, their servers were wiped during the incident.
The incident.
Which the is incident. The Chitauri invasion, yep. I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, it is.
It wouldn't be Hulk. It would be the Chitauri. Although, I guess it could have been Hulk because they're around.
No, that was in Harlem.
Yeah. And yeah, plus, whenever you hear the Chitauri incident. Thing, they just call it the incident.
The incident, yeah. That thing where the sky opened up and then the alien worms came out.
I guess
out,
if you and then, say the alien invasion, people won't take you seriously. Uh-huh. But if you say the incident.
Yeah. And then Thor was like throwing lightning around. Oh, and then S.H.I.E.L.D. tried to nuke the
There's
city.
There's just too much stuff going on.
It wasn't S.H.I.E.L.D. It was the World Council.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Global Security
Council. And their
Council.
Stupid-ass decision.
And I have elected to ignore it.
She was doing some amazing research, as she always does. We're back to Karen here, going through hard copies of this stuff. And between her and
Beardo McEditorson.
That works.
Ederson. Between those two, they figure out what's going on with Frank Castle. They figure out that the gangs were responsible for murdering his family and that the murders happened at the carousel. And that was what was driving Frank Castle. And that's as far as we get in that storyline in this episode.
There's also a bit of, I mean, connecting back to the date between this and her conversation with Matt, we get, a few more hints about her past and just the whole, she's from Vermont and she just kind of drops the subject and move on when he tries to bring it up. Yeah.
Well, last week they told us she has a brother.
Yeah.
And then they didn't really go anywhere with that.
She did tell Matt about the brother, though, right?
Right.
While they were walking, but we never heard it.
I don't remember.
I don't think she's from Vermont. I think that's made up.
And he's like, yeah, so is that why you wanted to move to the city? And she's like, oh, yeah. Anyway.
I think there's definitely backstory and stuff with her that we don't know about yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if she did have the brother, wouldn't you think that he would have come when she was arrested for murder last season?
Well, she only had one phone call.
Are you going to call?
That's not exactly true, but okay, we'll just run with it.
Yeah.
It's Hollywood trope.
You're going to call these guys right there.
Ha. She could need witness protection, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, WITSEC. That's what it is.
We'll run with that.
But then she would know how to do a witness. No, maybe not. Because when they were doing this stuff with, what's his name? Grotto.
So at the end of the episode, we have this wonderful scene where Elektra and Matt are going back verbally back and forth in Elektra's loft, or we'll assume it's Elektra's loft. She could have stolen that too. And they're about to be invaded by the bad guys. And
ninjas.
The Yakuza, because Elektra, pissed them off earlier in the day by
hacking their building.
Clicking her pen too many times. Yeah.
I mean, that's annoying. Click, 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 click.
The pen, as they say, is mightier than the sword or the server.
We see her in her Elektra outfit, and I am so happy with this outfit because instead of, you know, the red bathing suit from the comics and her hair loose and she's wearing a bandana, she has an actual functional outfit with her hair back, which mm-hmm. is something that just drives me crazy when I see it.
It's the turtleneck, isn't it?
No. Well, a little bit that too. But no, it's when I see in movies or comics or anything really, women with long hair who are fighting and the hair is loose. I used to have my hair down to about, you can't see it if you're listening, but it was my shoulders.
Right?
It was way past my collarbones.
Mid-bicep.
Yeah, about mid-bicep.
So you're what, 2'5", so you know your hair is...
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, basically, yes. And I had the whole cousin it thing going on, and my hair is very thick and very long. It was very long at the time.
When you would fight ninjas, it got in the way, right?
Yes. Yeah, totally. Well, I was in ballet, and I was in color guard, and if I didn't pull my hair back, it gets sweaty, and it gets in your face, and it's just... It's horrible to deal with. And this is my like hair, which is stick straight. And all these, you know, women on TV with these beautiful, glamorous waves of hair. I mean, it's, first of all, it's not going to stay that way. And second of all, it's going to get in your face. It's going to get in your mouth. People are going to be able to grab it and pull it. So seeing somebody with their hair actually pulled back so that it doesn't get in their face just makes me very happy. And yes, she did look very good in that turtleneck.
Oh, when she put that ninja red mask up on her face, I was like, oh yeah, because throughout the scene...
It's on like Donkey Kong.
She is putting Indeed. On her uniform in the classic electric colors. It's, as Suit you up. Stated, more functional, but it's going on. And as soon as she put that mask up, I was like, oh yeah! Yeah, that's awesome. And
when she got her weapons, I was like, sigh.
The duffel bag with the Daredevil helmet sitting on the top saying, hey, you want to join the party or not? You know he was all in. You know he needed to work off a little frustration at that point in time.
Well, like after his date with Karen, he's walking through the city and he's hearing all the sounds of crime. And right. He's like, I need to get out there and deal with that.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's got the itch.
He can't give it up.
Nope. So even though there was an incredible amount of exposition, a lot of setup in this episode, I enjoyed it.
And sex.
Yep. And sex.
Shadowy too. Sex scene.
And don't forget punching old men in the face.
Also punching old men in the face.
Can we talk about that scene? Was that tough to watch, you guys? Or
it was a little bit annoying to me to watch because his hands didn't get nearly as bloody as they should have been.
Oh, yeah.
Don't punch people in the face with your hands if they're not taped people because you're going to hurt yourself. Yeah, you use the meat of your hand. You can use your elbow. Mm. Your elbow's good. You can use your knees. Your knees are good.
An umbrella works.
Or you use an object.
Yeah.
You use an object.
Did you say an umbrella?
Too many.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, an umbrella's okay, good. Yeah, an umbrella's good. There's too many bones that are really close to the surface, and the skin's very thin, and the bones are very pointy, so you're going to hurt yourself more, especially because the skin on your knuckles is so thin.
Kicking with your shoe also works.
Yeah, kicking with your shoe is good.
Sock full of pennies.
Also good.
Or
a
soap.
A towel with a bar of soap in it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Always a good one.
A bag full of oranges.
Yep. Also good.
A rolled up doormat.
Yeah, okay. See, there's all these other objects that he could have used, but no. See, if he was going to punch in the soft tissue. You punch in the stomach. You punch in the arms.
A large fish like a cod or something, maybe?
Yeah, that's a good one. A flounder. Ooh, a catfish. Catfish have spines.
Catfish, they're like pointy. And
assuming
at this point in time, though, that he has been trained by Stick.
I mean, still, his knuckles are going to get all messed up.
All right.
He's doing the Battle and Jack thing.
Yeah, training doesn't change the fact that your knuckles will get messed up.
Yeah, like, your bones might be nice because, you know, you've done enough microfractures that you've strengthened them, but your skin is still really thin and fragile. Seriously, poke your knuckles right now. You see how you can feel the bones right there at the surface? It's very, very thin. Like, seriously, if you just, like, whack them against the wall too hard, they can split open.
Stop poking your knuckles on our podcast.
Uh-huh.
Poke, 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 poke.
I don't think the physicalness is what you really meant. I think you meant the actualness of a young Matt Murdock beating up on this old guy, right?
Oh, yeah. No, whatever. That guy's a jerk.
Well, I kind of meant more the torture porn aspect of it.
See, last week we got the Punisher getting his foot drilled into, so...
Yeah, this is really nothing compared to that.
Yeah.
This guy deserved it, though.
Oh, he definitely did, yeah.
The show does an excellent job of walking you right into...
Selling, yeah.
This is actually something that's possible, right. Because Matt's like, no, no, I don't want to do it. And he goads Matt. Oh, you're Matty Murdock.
Just like I killed your daddy.
Batman Jackson.
So he walked Matt right into it. He deserved it from the audience perspective at that point in time.
Yeah, they sold you.
Yeah.
Well, they made you, as the audience, want to start hitting the guy. And so then it's wish fulfillment when Matt starts doing it. And you're like, yeah. And then Elektra is having like the Xenia on a top moment.
Yeah, that was the
She's
weird
like
part.
Getting off on it. And... the scene earlier in the episode too, when they're in the boxing ring and they're like fighting, but it's also foreplay. That's like, I'm like, whoa.
By the way, that scene's so much better than the playground fight scene in the movie.
Oh yeah, totally.
I mean, better choreographed and way sexier.
Way sexier because there's not kids around, right? I mean, it's
that
not...
too, because that was a little weird.
Yeah,
I think the one thing that sticks out in my mind from the movie would be the rain scenes and how that really, you know,
that
the world
nice.
On yeah the world on fire stuff, we only saw that once and then we haven't seen it again. Spoilers.
I think don't overuse that to me, so I would like to see it maybe every like 3 or 4 episodes,
once a season maybe.
Yeah, what I like what they did, and they haven't really done it as much this season, is what they did in the first season with the focusing on the sounds.
Yeah
I like that a lot more than the visual aspect of it.
I think kind of the argument for not doing it is that if they did it all the time, then that would kind of like start to put a limit on what Matt's abilities are. And this leaves it open for them to, like, interpret it in new ways.
I would have liked to have seen it during the concussion to show us visually how he was incapable of sensing.
Right. You remember what I said of just having it go blank.
Yeah.
Or, like, snow on an old TV and he just can't distinguish.
I don't know. I kind of liked how they did it because you could still see the, like, panic, like, as the sounds fade out, but you could still see, like, the panic on his face. Yeah.
And he's like Archer. He's going like, mop, mop, mop.
Tendonitis, man. It sucks.
Tendonitis. Tendonitis is a different thing.
Yes.
Tetris? Tetanus. No?
Tetanus and the tendonitis?
Tendonitis.
Right. Okay.
Tinnitus. Technically, most doctors pronounce it tinnitus, but everyone else says tinnitus. And you're correct. Your doctors will just think tinnitus when you say it.
Some people say Uranus, but they are not correct. And that counts as a poop joke. I just want to throw that out there.
Technically, it's a pee joke.
True.
If you had said Uranus, it would be a poop joke.
That's what I meant.
All I'm trying to say is that the movie had a very sensual feel towards the rain and how he, Daredevil, was able to see around. Haven't really gotten that. We got a little bit of the rain moment with Karen that happened with Elektra in the movie. So there was that, but they've taken a total different track, and that's the one thing, the one main difference that sticks out in my mind. I know there's a lot of others, but that's the one big thing that sticks out in my mind as far as Daredevil's abilities, and we see it here. So your question, though, was it painful to watch? And my answer is no, because they led us right into it.
They made you want to hit the guy and think that he totally deserved it. And really, like, that's the best way to call 911 is to be like, I know the location of a wanted felon.
Yeah, it's a nice passive statement. Yep. It's not saying he's in my house. It's not saying I have something to do with this. It's just saying I know where this guy is.
I know where you can find this guy. Good luck untying those knots.
He wasn't at the top of his law class in Columbia for nothing, guys.
Yeah.
He's there.
It's all in the wording.
Yeah.
No, this is the semester he almost flunks out, though.
Oh, yeah, because he's too busy screwing around with Elektra.
Yeah, You wonder, though, if he went back and started wiping fingerprints or because they smashed all the glasses, he didn't worry about it. I was
wondering about that.
Well, yeah. His fingerprints probably aren't in the system, so it's not really that big of a deal.
And after they find the wanted felon, they're probably not going to be like, oh, well, who else can we find here?
On the upside, anybody who's curious, technically, it's really hard for people to find a full usable fingerprint.
Right. No,
because mostly they're very smudgy. So it's not like, you know, you're leaving full fingerprints everywhere. Still, don't commit crimes.
I just go around like planting my hands just very nice and evenly.
Just wear gloves all the time. It'll be fine.
That too. But don't commit crimes.
Don't commit crimes. Yeah, what she said.
And this bit of legal advice was brought to you by Lauren and Haley, Writers Incorporated.
And also, don't think about committing crimes because precogs, you guys.
Ooh. Yeah, that Minority Report. Yeah,
Watch out.
Series that really did all that great on Fox. Yeah.
But that was good. That was good stuff in that. And it's those couple scenes, I think, that made me want to come back and talk about this episode again with you guys.
Awesome. Lauren, anything else you want to wrap up the episode with?
No, I think that's about it.
All right, Haley, got anything before you get to quotes?
A couple things.
Yep.
Elektra used Matt as a cutting board.
That's yes. Right. For cheese.
For the fromage.
Yeah.
And we kind of got a shirtless scene in this episode, but they kept him in shadow. So
that's true.
At least he wasn't oozing. Lame. So that was nice.
It's like half of a shirtless scene.
Better than nothing, right?
Yeah.
I did enjoy their discussion of their future children because they'll have like sweet little Ellie and his poor dim-witted brother, Matthew Jr.
That was cute.
All right, Haley, anything else?
Quotes.
Let's do it.
Would you believe me if I said I missed you? No. You don't break into my house and then talk to me about trust.
I know. Right at the beginning, right?
Mm-hmm. Show me a subpoena and I'll cooperate like a mother... like a son of a bitch.
Like a son of a bitch.
Foggy. Love the Foggy Nelson.
Ben was a real pain in my ass, so it follows that his friends would be too.
Love that they brought back the bulletin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I don't have quotes from the last half of the episode because I forgot that I was taking notes.
there's one from Josie's where he gets a martini and he's like, why is it gray? And she's like, one of life's mysteries. Oh, yeah. And then he like takes it out and gives it to Marcy and he's like, they were out of olives.
All out of olives.
From right at the top of the episode when they go to the party and the waiter busts them for like sneaking in. And he's like, are you guys pompous jackasses? And they're like, well, we're not pompous.
It's like, take everything, anything you need.
Yeah.
There were some good quotes in this episode.
And when Matt was at the restaurant with Karen, he's like, I don't know what to get to drink. And she was like, what do you normally get?
Yeah,
and
she's like, do you drink wine? I feel like I should know that. And he's like, I don't drink anything that they don't serve at Josie's.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think they serve swill here.
Tell me everything I need to know about wine in the next 30 seconds.
And he doesn't even get that. He gets a phone shoved in his ear.
That's okay, because they leave the fancy schmancy place for the other place.
They do, with the...
Some good Indian food, some good naan.
I didn't even know what that was. I didn't know if it was Mexican, Chinese, or Indian at first. I had no idea.
I think Karen said it was Indian food.
It's Indian, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, I've had some really good Indian-Mexican fusion before.
It's a lot of the same stuff, man. Rice, meat, spice.
Some sort of flatbread.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The last time I had Indian was in Connecticut, actually.
Connecticut. I was thinking about like what would be an ideal date for Matt. And so it would be the restaurant you go to and it's completely dark. So
he would know
everything that's going on. And it would kind of be like equal footing for the other person. But I think those places are like weirdly expensive.
Plus, if I remember correctly, a lot of people get groped at them.
Well, I think the wait staff wears like night vision goggles, so they know where like everything is.
They know
is.
Where the good butts are.
Yeah.
Yes.
They know where the good butts butts.
And on that bombshell, a great episode next week. We will be coming back at you with the next episode in season 2 of Daredevil. We will have another special guest with us as we've had all season. It will be the Mr. Kier, and the episode will be Regrets Only. So come Regrets. And enjoy our watch of Daredevil season 2. In the meantime, we're going to get on to some news. All right, I confess, I did a little bit of my best Top Gear there with On That Bombshell, but now they can't even do that in the new Top Gear, because I guess that went with Clarkson and the gang to Amazon Prime, which I have not seen their series yet. Starting off Marvel news, we have some great information from San Diego Comic-Con from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. about a confirmation of a character, which we all were like, no, duh, they're there. So what are we talking about, Lauren?
Okay, so I was hearing rumors about this on Friday, and I was like, I'll believe it when I see it. I'll believe it when I see it. And then somebody told me on Twitter, hey, did you see this? And I looked, oh my God, Ghost Rider is confirmed for season 4 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And it's going to be the Robbie Reyes version of Ghost Rider, which is the Marvel Now version.
The all new, all different. Yeah.
Yeah. And I am really looking forward to this. Like, I remember seeing all the ads with like the flaming chain, and I was like, well, we saw that with Hellfire, and it's probably just that. And no, you guys, we're getting actual Ghost Rider. It's going to be amazing.
I have not run into Ghost Rider in the comics yet. Maybe I'm behind. I don't know, but I have not seen him in the all new, all different Marvel universe.
So this version, Robbie Reyes, in the character design, he's actually inspired by Zayn from One Direction. Nice. He's Hispanic, though, and he's supposed to be, hey, the next gen. And I think he drives a car instead of a motorcycle.
Blasphemy.
But, well, no, previous Ghost Riders have driven other things.
Sam Elliott had
the horse in the movie.
Yeah, the flaming horse, right?
Yeah. But yeah, it's all about just, you know, the vengeance thing, and there's the connection to the vehicle because vehicles are cool.
I loved Sam Elliott in Parks and Rec. One of his
other Ron.
Yeah.
Done.
That was awesome.
Is that your name, or have you finished speaking? Both.
Sam was great. He was doing a series of stuff. He was also on Justified, whatever. I mean, he's been in a ton of stuff.
He's on the new Netflix sitcom, The Ranch, right?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
So lots of good stuff from Sam Elliott. They
announced who's going to be playing him. And hold on,
one of the big problems that people had with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. at the beginning of the show was, oh, so you have a superhero show without any superheroes on it. Well, I think we've started to go that route. I mean, we had Deathlok for a while. We have the Inhumans. But now with Ghost Rider, I think there's no mistake. We do have a superhero show with superheroes on it.
And I feel like the right situation is getting to be in where now they're starting to have more characters than they really know what to do with. And then they kind of canceled the Inhumans movie, so it looks like more Inhumans are going to show up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., like the ones that you've actually heard of. So I think they'll have more of an opportunity to do that. And then the whole, like, doing a show called Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. where now they've like destroyed S.H.I.E.L.D. Now it's like, okay, so what's the show about? It'll kind of like open up the cast, I think, a little bit.
You know, we have not touched this since the season finale of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but who do you guys think, we'll just do it again, middle of the summer here. Who do you guys think is the new director of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Because I've been reading comics, I will say Maria Hill. It's the obvious choice for me.
I'm hoping it's Maria Hill because I want to see her again on the show.
Haley, do you have a guess?
Yeah, I would like if they brought her back to the show. If it's not Hill, it's, I think it's Mac.
I was thinking about this. It's got to be somebody that Coulson respects, because when Adama came in and was like, no, I'm director of S.H.I.E.L.D., Phil was like, no, you're not.
Yeah.
So it, like, nobody knows, but Nick Fury literally appointed Coulson. Like, came back from the dead and was like, look, you're the director of S.H.I.E.L.D. You're the best person for the job. And now either Coulson realized he's messed up enough that he deserves to be demoted, or it's someone that he, like, respects, or both, in that he knows that this person is trustworthy, where Coulson has made too many mistakes and, I guess, feels guilty for the people that have died and been lost.
Surprise, it's Guy's dad.
Oh, please. That would be so cool.
We've also thought it might be Ming-Na. she might
May.
Come, yeah,
yeah.
Agent May,
May?
Become
It may
director.
Be her.
Yeah.
It may be May.
Maybe.
The only reason it's I wouldn't think it May. Would be Mac was he was in the room with Coulson at the
end. Yeah, he was
the
in the
end.
Room when they said, we got to get to the director. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't think it's going to be Mac. But anyway, we'll continue that speculation as we get closer to the season.
Ghost Rider Robbie Reyes has been cast. It's actor Gabriel Luna, who's also been on last season of True Detective and the TV show Matador.
Nice.
Cool.
So, Haley, I know Lobster talked about it, but I know you're the big Inhuman fan. Is there anything else that you want to talk about this Inhuman article?
So, it's been floating around for the last day or so. The title of the article is misleading. It says, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to include classic Inhumans in season 4, but then the quote from the interview is that they say they have a little more freedom this season, and Jed Whedon said he would like to include Lockjaw. But that's as far as I go. They did not explicitly say that they were going to be able to use the royal family or anything like that. And he said it would probably be complicated for them to include Lockjaw. And I guess it really comes down to if they're still planning on doing the Inhumans movie or not. If they're going to do the Inhumans movie, I don't think they're going to let them include the royal family in the TV show.
Why not in this season, though? Because the movie's not going to be for a couple years after that. So you can write the whole season and still lead into the movie if you're still going to do it in the future.
Because they don't want it to be something where you have to have seen the TV show to know what's going on. And they don't want the TV show using up any story ideas they might want to save for the movie.
Well, plus casting. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure if they want to do Inhumans as a movie, they want to cast people you...
Like, if they want Vin Diesel to be Black Bolt, they're not going to be able to get him for a TV show.
Yeah, they want to cast on a movie budget, not a TV budget. For the movies.
I don't know. Vin Diesel might still do it on the TV show. If they were like,
he wouldn't do a whole season.
He's like, look, we cannot afford to pay you what you deserve. However, we will let you play this character for now and then come back and play Black Bolt. Which I love the idea that Vin Diesel plays the voice of a character and a character who doesn't talk.
I would love that so much. I love that we're all just kind of taking it as a given that he's going to play back to Black Bolt.
There's literally no one else.
We'll see.
We said the same thing about Captain Marvel.
To as who?
Katie Sackhoff for Captain Marvel for years.
I always said Catherine Winnick.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah.
There's a lot of actors that could play that.
Okay. Do we want to talk about Captain Marvel now? Did they cast Captain Marvel?
They cast Captain Marvel.
What?
They announced it at SDCC.
I had no idea.
It's Brie Larson.
Yeah, from Scott Pilgrim.
Brie.
From Scott Pilgrim versus the World, from Room. Which, by the way, is an amazing
short
movie.
Short-term 12, right? No? Different actors.
I don't know.
Speaking of Brie Larson, my podcasting co-host on Art House Legends is obsessed with Brie Larson and would not shut up about this.
If it would have been Anna Hopkins, I would have been the same way.
She's a really good actress, and somebody pointed out that now we have two people from Scott Pilgrim in the movie. We have Envy Adams and we have Lucas Lee as both captains.
Sadly, when I did my comic book movie adaptation box office thing for the main Gonna Geek show, Scott Pilgrim versus the World did not make the list of the top 100 movies.
Because it did not make any money.
Yeah.
It's a sentimental favorite of mine. And it is now like the ultimate Comic-Con movie. Eric was explaining this because if you look at the cast of that movie, like literally everyone is getting cast in these big...
Pretty much.
Yeah. Well, when you do young actors that have promise in a series, they get a little bit of experience in this stuff. Yeah, of course you're going to be in consideration.
Plus, Edgar Wright has a good eye for this sort of thing.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Mm. More SDCC. Two C's? Did I say two C's?
SDCC.
It's California, so you could throw the California in there. San Diego, California Comic Con. You're fine.
San Diego Comic Con. More news from there. We got a whole bunch of trailers coming out of there. Like, a lot.
The first trailer was the Luke Cage trailer, which was amazing.
Yeah, so good. The face that Lauren's making right now. Yeah.
Lauren's a little bit excited.
I'm a little bit excited.
She went catatonic. She was so excited.
Like, not only was it a really good trailer, but they were playing a Wu-Tang Clan song in the trailer. Yep. And just, oh, so happy. Like, it, oh, so, so happy.
The main thing that I was thinking about during this trailer was that if you're Luke Cage and you go out and you confront your enemies out there, you don't wear your good clothes because there's not enough seamstresses in the world that are going to bring those back together with all the bullet holes in them.
I mean, maybe he wasn't planning on it. Maybe he just kind of happened to be out there that night. But yeah, no, generally, you're going to want to wear your crap clothes for that.
It was just a hoodie.
Like, just go to, you know, run down to Walmart and grab something on sale.
Yeah, don't wear your good clothes. Just don't do it. The next trailer that we saw was an Iron Fist teaser.
The Iron Fist teaser is just a teaser. There's not much.
It's Danny Rand in a plane crash. Danny Rand coming back to New York looking like a hobo. Danny Rand in a mental institution with his beard. And then Danny Rand breaking out.
I did like the iPod in the snow during the plane crash with his...
Nice, sense of time and place there.
I have that iPod.
I do. I do, too.
I think I do, too.
I use it every day. That's what I listen to this podcast on. So that was pretty cool. I enjoyed that. So, yeah, that was pretty cool. Also, the Daredevil Season 3 announcement came out.
Yes. And
that we've all seen that by now with the 1, 2, 3 floors or lines or subway lines or whatever. That was pretty good.
Yeah. And then the Defenders teaser, which it shows pretty much.
It's logo play.
Yeah, it has Nirvana's Come As You Are playing, which I kind of dug.
Nice pull.
Yeah. And it's just a bunch of stuff having to do with the characters, like
comic books getting torn up.
Yeah, like people peeling stuff off, and it's newspaper articles about Daredevil and Alias Investigations and the Iron Fist logo and stuff like that.
What struck me the most about this trailer is the voiceover at the end, which was amazing. Who was speaking at the end?
Yes, it was.
Not to spoil anybody, but I was like, oh, Stick's going to be in this. This is going to be so cool.
Stick Glenn, what?
So excited. I'm so happy. Yes.
And then there was another trailer from Marvel, this time transitioning over into the MCU. It was the new Doctor Strange trailer. Now, I got to admit, I'm not the biggest fan of the mysticism in the Marvel Universe, and the trailers so far hadn't really caught my eye. They were okay, but this one, I was like, hey, you know what? I might be able to get into this movie. We'll see.
This one, I feel like, really played up the mysticism, and that's what grabbed me. Because it's the whole, you know, you see him actually doing the spell hand thing, and you see him putting on the cape, which was cool.
Yeah, it was cool.
And yeah, just kind of the whole mindscape thing. And I'm really interested in seeing what they do with that.
I think the more action-y CGI shots were able to be fulfilled in this trailer, which they might not have had before.
Yeah.
I think that's what really did it to me, as I was able to visualize a little bit more of how they're going to actually enact this.
The first one was very Inception-y, right?
Yeah.
Where the city like flipped upside down and stuff.
Which is still part of it, but there's so much more. So
yeah. Also, if you noticed in this trailer, they had that shot from, you know, the little meme that they had for a while
there. Jumping.
The jumping. Yeah, we see that shot again in this, and that's all I could think of was the little Benedict Cumberbatch jumping.
Bandicoot Cumberbund.
Bandersnatch Cumberbund. Jumping in everything.
Con!
So that's all I could think of. Hashtag not my con.
Thanks, JJ Abrams, for that.
Hashtag San Diego not my con.
That's true. Not mine. That's for sure. So that was cool. We will see how that happens. It's November, I want to say 15th. I might be wrong on that date, but it's sometime in November. Coming up.
Oh, and the Luke Cage premiere date was announced too during that trailer.
September 30th, right?
September 30th.
Nice. Happy birthday to me.
Yay!
Now, moving on, we had a little bit more about the Marvel Cinematic Universe, basically, with Spider-Man.
Spidey.
Yeah, there was actually Lobster as the Spider-Man fan. You want to take this?
Yeah, so I didn't see the footage.
None of us have.
Only the people in the room got to see the footage. This one they clamped down on. There are descriptions out there that you can read. I'm not going to go through everything, but it does set up that the Vulture appears to be the big bad in the Spider-Man movie, and there's some concept art that shows what the Vulture will look like, although they're not telling you yet who the Vulture will be. In the concept art, he's got a mask on, and he's in a very high-tech suit, kind of reminiscent of the first Green Goblin, like the wings have like fans and stuff in them. And yeah, it sounds cool.
Yeah, I think the assumption is that Michael Keaton's going to be playing the Vulture, but Birdman? We don't know.
That'd be cool. It really would. And then another trailer that came out, and this is the one trailer that I have not had a chance to watch, but I can guarantee you Lauren has. So Lauren, yes. Why don't you break down this Legion trailer for us?
Okay, so Legion, for those who don't remember, is the show that Fox is moving forward with about David Haller, yes. Who is Professor X's illegitimate son.
Yes.
And he's a mutant that at first everyone's like, oh, he's schizophrenic. And then turns out, no, he's psychic. And you get to see little bits of that in this trailer. You get to see Aubrey Plaza's character. You get to see David telling people, oh, this is what I've been experiencing. And it's basically just hinting at the kind of attitude that we can see from the show. I'm curious about it. So it's a show I will be giving a chance to.
This is FX, right?
Fox, I thought. Okay. I didn't think it was going to be FX. I thought it was going to be Fox.
Oh, that would have been so much better if it was FX.
So yeah. The writer is Noah Hawley, mm-hmm. Who wrote the first two seasons of Fargo.
Yep.
Which are really good. And so to have him take what I think is a really interesting corner of the X universe to explore, even if you didn't do the whole connecting it to Professor X, which I almost kind of hope they don't, and let it kind of be its own thing, Legion would be a really cool character to explore. And yeah, it'll be interesting to see where they go with it.
I'm a little disappointed they don't have him have the hair like it does in the comics, where it's about, yeah, you know, a foot like and a half tall.
He looks like a friggin' troll doll.
Yeah. But hey, what can it's you not, do? You know, 1991 it's, anymore. We can't get away with the...
Crawley from Downton Abbey, right? Matthew Crawley?
I never watched Downton Abbey.
Well, yeah, it's totally that guy.
Okay.
I thought Downton Abbey would have been up your alley, Lauren, but I guess not.
It's one of those... It's been on my Netflix queue for years, and I've just never gotten around to watching it.
I watched like two episodes, and it was not SP speed, so...
I know that one of the characters in it was Susan in the Hogfather miniseries, and that's like all I know.
It's pretty good.
For our last news story this week, we do have a first for Marvel, which is pretty cool.
Yes, this makes me very, very happy. Marvel has just hired its first Black woman writer to write comics for them. Roxane Gay is a critic and author. She wrote a book called Bad Feminist, and she's going to be writing World of Wakanda, and it's going to be spotlighting the women of Wakanda. She's going to be working with Ta-Nehisi Coates, who's been, you know, writing Black Panther, to do a spinoff of his Black Panther. And I'm really, really, really looking forward to it, especially as we move towards the movie, which has recently cast two actresses that I really, really like as two of T'Challa's bodyguards. We have Lupita Nyong'o, and we have Danny Guerra from The Walking Dead. And I'm betting that those two characters are going to be featured, that the characters are going to be playing are going to be featured very heavily in World of Wakanda. Uh-huh. I mean, you know, to drum up interest for the movie. Mm-hmm. But
I'm already interested after Captain America. I'm all in.
Yeah. The only kind of disappointing thing is that Marvel's been in existence, you know, all these years, and this is the first Black woman writer they've ever hired. But it's a good step moving forward. Just continue to actively, you know, hire people outside.
How many more is that than DC, though?
I don't actually know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I'm just saying.
Or any of the other houses, sure. As Dark Horse, IDW, Image. I don't know the answer to any of that, but that would be interesting to note. So that's the news for this week. We're going to move on to some feedback. I got to say a big thank you to our listeners that chime in to us all the time on Facebook, on Twitter, email us and everything. I was a little busy this past weekend thanks to some events that came together. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, go check out the Starling Tribune Rebirth special. That was an amazing event for me to be able to partake in. But unfortunately, it took me out of being able to look into San Diego Comic-Con news. So the only reason I was staying up to what was going on in San Diego Comic-Con was you guys. So thank you very much, Cajun Sean, Kodiak GWC. You guys were just rock stars and let me know what was going on with all the trailers, with all the news stories. Thank you very much. And the one that we haven't talked about yet was basically tweeted to us by Richard at Kodiak GWC. And he said, it appears that Carl Urban is getting ready for Scourge the Executioner. You guys see this picture?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's shaved his head and he still has the beard though. And he looks very Scourge-like. I'm very excited.
I mean, I'm a big Carl Urban fan and he's played characters like this before. He played Lord Vako.
Oh, yes.
In the Riddick movie. And he did, like, he was in Doom and Pathfinder. And I'm probably going to leave out other stuff like The Bourne Identity and Lord of the Rings that he's done. Or was it The Supremacy?
I don't remember.
He's done, like, these kind of cool roles. And, yeah, more Carl Urban. And he's awesome as Bones, too. So
he was also Cupid and Caesar in Xena.
Yes.
I didn't know that. I got to get. Yeah. I have the series. I haven't watched it yet. I have all seven seasons. Seven seasons, right? Of Xena?
Six.
Seven seasons. Six seasons and a movie. Yeah.
I have all six seasons, though.
There is an animated movie, actually. Hercules and
yes.
Xena.
Yes.
There you go.
Oh, I forgot about that. What?
I have it on DVD.
Thank you, everybody, for your Facebook likes. We really appreciate that. I know between Lauren and sometimes we have a guest poster come in by the name of Michelle and whoever else posts on our Facebook page. I really enjoy seeing you guys like what we're putting out there. We really appreciate you staying tuned into the channel. We look forward to more interaction there. So if you guys want to post a comment there, don't feel just limited to likes. Go ahead, leave your comment. We'll talk about it on the podcast or maybe even we'll interact with you on Facebook too because we like doing that as well. Lauren, you're going to take this wonderful email from Andy because he sent us another email for episode 5. And just spoilers, we got another one for next week, too.
Yep. So Andy sends us his reactions to the episodes and they're fun. And he does his own rating. And okay. What he says about this episode, Kalimera Electra, which is apparently hello, Electra in Greek. I don't know Greek, but thank you for that.
It's all Greek to me.
There is some, so now you know, if you want the good German beer, Bavarian beer. I didn't know that either, but now I know. Thank you.
It's true.
There is a West Mallee beer that somebody should totally send me from Germany.
Totally.
Finally, some sexy time on Daredevil after their sparring. He needed a break, even if this was only a flashback.
Why not? What I really enjoyed is we didn't talk about it in the episode, but Roxxon got not only a name drop, but we were in the Roxxon headquarters building.
Another thing. She told Matt in the flashback, on your left.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
Yeah.
Nice.
I remember catching it the first time, but I didn't catch it while we watched it. Nice.
Nice.
Yeah. Don't do any somersaults yet, quoted the episode. Roxxon, from Agent Carter to Daredevil, making the world a better, unsafer place.
Definitely.
Yes, hope that Marcy will be back. She working at Hogarth? Let's see. Electra really gets excited by Matt punching Sweeney, but like a good Catholic boy, Matt despises himself for that. I was raised Catholic. I can agree with that.
The Hogarth thing, I totally spaced on that. The Reyes versus Jerry. We need to see that legal battle going back and forth between those two would be staunch opponents. They could be really good friends and take over the world too, but I would love to see them go head to head. That would be awesome.
I don't think either of those two have a lot of friends.
No.
No. Bottom line, more backstory, less action here. 8 out of 10 mischievous Electra smiles. Mischievous. How do you pronounce that word?
Either
potato,
or.
Potato.
You did it.
I pronounced both. Therefore, my ass is covered.
Correct.
As I heard on Gallifrey Public Radio, Akatan, garbage. It's the same thing.
Yep. Tomato, tomato.
So thank you very much, Andy. Thank you very much to all our tweeters. We really appreciate being kept in the loop and interacting with you. Really want to keep that up. And we're going to walk this one out. As I mentioned at the end of the Daredevil segment, catch us next week as we discuss Daredevil Season 2, Episode 6, Regrets Only, with Consultant Kier. As a reminder, you can always find our live streams at www.geeks.live. We've got a website, legendsofshield.com. It will take you to all of our great content on the GunnaGeek.com network. We have a voicemail line, 844-THE-BUS-1 or 844-843-2871. We have Facebook account, Twitter account, Tumblr account. If you need to email, StargatePioneer@GunnaGeek.com. Mr. Lobster, thank you so much for dropping in on this one. It was a pleasure to have you here today, sir.
Thank you for having me once again.
And I want to thank all our listeners. Really appreciate you downloading this, streaming the podcast, catching us on Spreaker, and dropping in our blab and catching us as we live stream. Really appreciate you listening, and we'd love to hear from you.
I want to thank everybody who hangs out with us on Twitter, whether it's during the live tweets, whether you're tweeting us news, whether, you know, you're just tweeting us something that you think we might find funny. We really, really appreciate it. And it makes us really happy to know that you're listening to us and that you like us. It makes us feel liked too. And we love you guys.
Yep. I'll just say thank you again to everyone for listening. And we would love the opportunity to actually hear what some of you guys have to say. So don't forget, we've got that voicemail line, 844-THE-BUS-1, and give us a call about your thoughts and theories on episodes and news and all that kind of stuff, or so we can hear you.
Who you think the next director of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to be.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
And thank you very much again. Until next time, I'm Agent Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
I'm Agent Lauren.
I'm Consultant Lobster.
Bye. See you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to GunnaGeek.com and you will find all of our contact information in other shows. You can also visit LegendsOfShield.com where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin McLeod and can be found at Incompetech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual host and do not represent Legends, Stream, or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation. No infringement is intended.
Daredevil.
I'm Batman.
Batman.
The horny guy. In the house.
In the house.
Lobsters in the house.
I can't move my camera, so I'll just move my chair.
Hello, Mr. Mad Hatter.
Hello.
We're waiting for Haley. She's on that special time zone now.
Does the wood baby move on its own, or is that you doing that?
No, it's alive.
Okay. I just, yeah.
Okay.
It's alive. Yeah. Alive.
Hello, Spreaker. This is Stargate Pioneer, one of the hosts of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast. It's a podcast, a fan podcast about the general Marvel universe. Tonight, we'll be marching down our Daredevil Season 2 watch with Kinbuktu. And
that's
I'm here.
Not how you pronounce it.
Well, and I'm here with Lauren.
Kinbuktu.
Hello. And it's Kinbaku.
Kinbaku. And Haley.
It's Kinbaku.
It's Kinbaku. And Lobster.
It's Kinbakow.
Kinbaktu.
Scott Bakula. No, wait.
In any event, we'll be going...
I've been rewatching Chuck.
Going live on geeks.live. So if you want to join our live chat, you can go over there.